Hello friends, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly. Beginning Sunday, January the 8th at 6 p.m., we'll begin holding evangelistic services at Old Paths Tabernacle. These services are an outreach of the Joey Kelly broadcast. If you like old-fashioned singing and preaching, and a revival atmosphere, I'm sure you'll enjoy attending these services. To kick things off, I'll be doing an in-depth, verse-by-verse study of the book of Matthew. You know that I love teaching the types in the Old Testament, but I'm looking forward to studying the fulfillment of those types, which of course is the Lord Jesus Christ. Old Paths Tabernacle will be meeting in the Fellowship Hall of Old Metairie Protestant Church, 1301 Metairie Road, here in Metairie, at the corner of Metairie Road and Conifer Boulevard, which is right across from the Shell Station. Services are at 6 p.m. Sunday evenings only. I hope to see you there. Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. You remember that Moses said, as God told him, "Pharaoh, let my people go. And here's some frogs, and here's some lice, and here's some this and that, and then hail, and all of that stuff." Plague after plague after plague after plague. There were 9 plagues, and not one of the 9 plagues made a difference. "Okay, take the frogs away." And Moses said, "Well, how long do you want to keep them?" "Well, one more night." Strange. One more night with the frogs. That's a sermon right there.
Yes, indeed.
And he says, "Okay, I'll let you go." And the next day he said, "No, I won't." His heart was still hard. 9 times God sent some sort of plague, some destruction. The water, the Nile turned into blood. And each of these plagues, there were 10 of them. The 9 didn't do anything. The 10th, the death angel at midnight. Each one of these plagues were a judgment against the different gods of Egypt. We believe in evolution today. Back then, they believed that man crawled up out of the Nile, and that's not a Garden of Eden, but that's where man came from, was the Nile. That's what they believed. That's what they believed, but God turned the Nile into blood. In other words, "Well, you think that's where you came from? Nah, look at that. It's blood. You can't drink it." And for what, like 10 days or something, there was nothing to drink. As a judgment, the one God in heaven, judged these little gods or the things that men worshipped as gods. You understand that? 9 plagues, 9 horrible plagues. But nothing mattered. There was no deliverance in the plagues. And finally, the 10th plague. God said, "I will kill the firstborn of every man, woman, child, even the beasts, the dog, the cow, the cat." And there were so many cats in Egypt, because that was one of the things that they worshipped. Snakes, what have you. Every beast, every man, every family, the firstborn died. Every firstborn calf died. And again, we've seen it on television. We've seen the green fog come down and all the wailing and whatever. We've seen all of that. the movie depicts fairly well what happened as it's pictured here in the Bible. There was such a cry in Egypt that night, and as God said, this one will work. But it wasn't the fact that the firstborn died. Yes, there was a great plague, a great judgment against Egypt. But you see, were it not for the blood of that lamb put on the doorpost and lintel, the death angel would have come into every Jewish house and killed every Jewish firstborn son or daughter. But they were spared. Because when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Again, maybe you guys are saints. Maybe nobody smokes cigarettes. Maybe if this thing makes it to the radio, maybe there's somebody in jail listening to me, hooked on drugs, hooked on who knows what. I'm here to say that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust that His blood was shed for you. Trust that He hung and died on that cross for you. And you by faith say, Lord, I accept. And Lord Jesus, come into my heart, etc. God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He will give you a new life right then and there. You can be born again. It's an incredible experience. I can't describe it. I can tell you a little bit, but I can't describe it. But I know that my life was completely, utterly changed in a moment. In a moment. And again, those bad habits and addictions, they went away in a moment. And I could not possibly turn back. I'd be a complete fool to turn back and say, I want to go back and into the bars and stuff. There's deliverance, and there's victory, and there's rescue, and there's salvation. Everything you always wish you could have, well, God can give it to you. All you have to do is ask. Hallelujah. All you have to do is ask. But in this chapter, verse 12, it says in verse 2, well, let's start at verse 1 to get the full picture. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. What that talks about is that if you're a sinner man and you get saved, you have a new life. You know, they changed the calendar because of Jesus Christ. We've got B.C. before He came, and what do you know? We've got A.D. Jesus changed the calendar. Well, it changed the Jewish calendar. I don't know what day or what month it was that they said was the first of the year, but God said sometime in March or April, whenever that thing comes around, that's the beginning of months. Because your new life starts when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. You see, it should be that when you come to church, it's because you want to be in the house of God. It should be because, man, I remember what Jesus did for me. I want to hear a message about my Lord being preached. I want to sing the praises of God. I want to fellowship with people that have also been changed like me. It's not, well, you know, if I don't go, they're going to mark it down in that book.
Amen.
And they're going to look at me with them long noses.
Amen.
And I'm going to feel less of a Christian. Man, it's about absolutely none of that.
Amen.
It's about absolutely none of that. As the pastor said, we're happy to have you here because we care about you. It's not, you wrote it down in that book, you didn't come again. It's not that. And the mindset should be that you come to church to see the Lord. David sang, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we sing that song here, I'm sure. Deliverance. Again, maybe you are hooked on drugs, or maybe whatever, I don't know. Maybe you can't stop smoking, maybe you can't stop cussing out the greeter at Walmart. I don't know if it's big. But whatever your trouble is, you can come to God and you can, as I say on the radio, every time I close the program, I say, bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. We have altars in this church. A lot of churches don't have these anymore, but at the end of the service, we understand what happens is an invitation given not to come shake the preacher's hand. But if you have something in your heart, then let's come to the altar and pray. We may come pray with you. We may let you pray by yourself, but let's come pray. And it's a symbolic thing coming forward. The altar should be in your heart. You should buy your heart. Rent your heart and not your garments. But in the type of church we have, a Pentecostal church and some other types, we have a bench or something like that where we come and pray. But you know, Moses built an altar. Abraham, I think, built four altars. The first thing Noah did when he got off the boat was build an altar. In other words, it's symbolic. We need to remember the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. We need to remember that this is our deliverance, that Jesus Christ shed his blood for us. And as I said, Abraham built four altars. Well, shouldn't one be enough? After all, Jesus was only crucified once for all. But you see, we have to continually say, Lord, we need your help. And Lord, we've drifted away. We need to trust you. It's a sign of dependence upon God and reliance upon God. Not reliance upon the deacons or the Sunday school board or the denomination. It's reliance upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, in so many of our churches, we've forgotten it's reliance upon Jesus Christ. Verse 21, and Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two posts, the side posts, and none of you shall go out the door of this house until morning. We need to be in Christ. We need to be in Christ. We need to live a life covered by the blood. You know, in this book, it talks about the exodus or the exit in modern English of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. But chapter 25 to the end talks about the temple or the tabernacle, the tent that God had Moses set up in the wilderness. And that's where they praised God. You know, every morning at 9 o'clock and every afternoon at 3 o'clock, they sacrificed another lamb, a continual sacrifice, morning and evening. And you'll find that referenced all throughout the Old and the New Testament. But in the tabernacle or the temple or what have you, Moses later built a big structure, a temple. There was a piece of furniture, we call it furniture. There are seven pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. The first one that you get to is a center. You come in and you have your little lamb that you're going to sacrifice before God. Another lamb, man. Well, yeah, it's all about Jesus Christ and the great sacrifice that he made on Calvary. The whole thing, beginning to end, even from when Cain and Abel messed up. It, from the beginning, it was about the sacrifice of some innocent animal and its blood covering sin. And their covering, well, even before that, I apologize, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, God himself perform the first sacrifice. He found some animal, some clean animal, and killed it, and skinned it, and tanned the hide, and covered Adam and Eve. Again, that's where our righteousness is. The covering is righteousness. And it's not us coming up with our own, perhaps, denominational righteousness or anything like that. It's about the fact that a lamb was sacrificed and his blood was shed. It's God's righteousness and not self-righteousness. But when a sinner came to repent of whatever sin, he had his lamb, and he brought it to the priest at the right side or whatever side of the brazen altar. It was actually copper. The King James says brass, but it was actually copper. But you understand that brass is a solution of copper and some other metal. It's an alloy. But you killed the lamb, or you held its neck back and the priest killed it, but essentially you killed your lamb. The blood was caught. And that blood was later used when the priest would go into the holy place. The seventh piece of furniture was the Ark of the Covenant. And again, we talk about movies we've seen, Raiders of the Lost Ark. That movie was about this piece of furniture, the Ark. Now, the Ten Commandments was relatively accurate. Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's just Hollywood. That's not a lot there. But it's still the piece of furniture. You know, this happened 3,500 years ago or something. They're still making movies about it. How you like that? How you like that? But that blood that came from the animal that was spilled at the first piece of furniture, the brazen altar, was eventually taken in once a year by the great high priest. And it was called the Ark of the Covenant, but it had a lid. And that lid, with the two cherubim, was called the mercy seat. That blood was placed on the mercy seat. And these two cherubim were facing each other and looking down. And we may have seen pictures of this. They were looking down and their gaze went to the law. Yes, there was a lid, but I imagine cherubim, angels or something can see through a lid, I suppose. But their gaze was to the law. But how many of you know that we broke the law? The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal. I broke a number of them. Broken law. Israel could not keep it. It was a broken law. But the high priest, once a year on the Day of Atonement, took blood and smeared it on that mercy seat. This is where God himself dwelled. That's where his presence dwelled, on the mercy seat. Not the judgment seat. Not the judgment seat. I understand that there's a great white throne that some people will unfortunately stand before. But you see, because we're in Christ, because Jesus Christ died for our behalf, God sits on a mercy seat, not a judgment seat. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Those angels looking at the broken law, but the blood on that mercy seat, they saw the blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You see, that's God's imparted righteousness. We are unholy. We are unrighteous. But God changes us. God sanctifies us. He justifies us by faith and etc. So when God looks at us, he sees not a bunch of sinners, but he calls us saints and friends. Because our sins are washed away. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, if I go through this chapter some more, I will find more about the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. I will find more about God forgiving and delivering. There's one last thing I want to look at. In chapter 14. In chapter 15, they were praising God, but in chapter 14, and we know this story. We've seen it on TV, and I'm sure that you've heard it in Sunday school and what have you. The shedding of the blood that caused the people, the children of Israel, to go free. And they went free. And God led them, it says, God led them. Imagine that. In verse 21 and 22 of chapter 13, and the Lord went before them by day and a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night and a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." You see, Jesus lives in my heart. Jesus lives in my heart. I know that when I was born again, something happened to me and God came to live in me. And we know what the Bible says. And He leads me, or I should follow anyhow. I know that God, when I read the Word of God, or when I hear it preached, or when I pray or meditate upon it, He speaks to me. He tells me what to do. But we know the story. Pharaoh was angry, full of rage, and he said, "Oh yeah, they went free. Well, I'm going to get them. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill every last one of them." And we understand that God, leading His people, it says in the text that He could have led them one way, but He led them again a different way. And they ended up against the Red Sea. Backs to the wall, if you would. I mean, the Red Sea. I mean, maybe somebody can swim a little bit, but not 3.5 million people, not flocks and herds and all our stuff on the cart and whatever. But we understand that God opened the Red Sea. That Moses had his stick, his staff, his shepherd's staff, and held it out on the waters open. The wind blew, and overnight, that's what happened. The waters were pushed back, and they were piled up on each other, and what was used to be soggy, muddy bottom was dry land. And we understand that they went free. But I want to read one verse to you here. "And all the people were worried and crying out to God, and Moses was a little nervous, and he didn't know what to do. But it says here in verse 13 of chapter 14, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He shall show unto you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Now, there's no mention here of the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. No little sacrifice at the bank of the Red Sea. No. But God stepped in and delivered. God stepped in and delivered. You see, God had redeemed His people, bought them back from a life of slavery. And it took the blood of the Lamb to do it. But you see, now that you're in Christ, now that you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of your sin, you're His child. He's on your side. And when you get into a jam, you can pray and God will hear you. And God can deliver you if you trust in Him. If you're hooked on cigarettes or something like that, or you can't stop lying or whatever, or looking at women like you shouldn't, God can deliver you. You don't have to make a big religious scene about it. You have to trust that, hey, Jesus died for my sins, and I'm His, and He's going to take care of me. And if you trust in Him and look toward Him, He can deliver you. But if God has spoken to you, if He's touched your heart in some way, I talked earlier about this old-fashioned altar, and I know that you have instructed your people what it's for. If God has spoken to you, please, as she prays, come and pray. Come and give whatever trouble you have to the Lord. And if you like, me and the pastor can pray for you. But this is God's time. This is the Spirit's time. And this is your time. As you've heard the singing, heard the testimony perhaps, and heard the Word of God, you can bring all your needs to the altar.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Hello friends, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly. Beginning Sunday, January the 8th at 6 p.m., we'll begin holding evangelistic services at Old Paths Tabernacle. These services are an outreach of the Joey Kelly Broadcast. If you like old-fashioned singing and preaching and a revival atmosphere, I'm sure you'll enjoy attending these services. To kick things off, I'll be doing an in-depth, verse-by-verse study of the book of Matthew. You know that I love teaching the types in the Old Testament, but I'm looking forward to studying the fulfillment of those types, which of course is the Lord Jesus Christ. Old Paths Tabernacle will be meeting in the Fellowship Hall of Old Metairie Protestant Church, 1301 Metairie Road, here in Metairie, at the corner of Metairie Road and Codifer Boulevard, which is right across from the Shell station. Services are at 6 p.m. Sunday evenings only. I hope to see you there.